In our scripture reading today, we were reading out of Matthew chapter 7 in verse 15 to 20. And Jesus basically is talking about false teachers in this particular passage and telling us that we can recognize a false teacher by the fruits that they produce. The result of the things that they do. What results from their works? If we observe the results, we can tell what kind of teacher is being involved in. It makes them recognizable. It stands out. And rather though, instead of focusing on the characteristics of the wicked, I want to look at the other side, because it's also true that by the fruits, you can recognize the righteous. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and starting at verse 8, it says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Here then is the produce of being righteous, following after Christ. It is goodness, righteousness, and truth. A longer list is found in Galatians chapter 5. And starting at verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now the paper that I handed out for you to look at has the definitions, so you can figure out which one has the proper word. Love that he talks about is a devoted type of love. It's a love that gives even though it's not returned. It's that love that's redefined for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And I won't take time to read that, but you can go back and look at that as well. It's a love that continually gives. Joy is happiness or calm delight. Peace is the quietness that comes from being in harmony with God and with man. It literally is the opposite of war. Patience is talking about long suffering, the willingness to endure. It's shown towards us by God giving us opportunities to turn from sin. God has been long-suffering with us. God has been patient with us. You see that with the Israelites when he dealt with them for over 1,500 years. He put up with them. He puts up with us. And we need it as well in dealing with the shortcomings of our fellow man. Kindness is a gentle person who is both kind and good. Goodness is a generous person who is good. It's the opposite of being evil. Faithfulness is a person who have conviction, who has faith and trust and confidence in God. It also refers to a person who is reliable and trustworthy. Gentleness refers to a gentle, humble person. He's the opposite of a hot-tempered man. And self-control is a person who's able to control his desires. These are all characteristics of God's people. It ought to be. This is the way we ought to be able to recognize righteous people. Because this is what they produce. James tells us in James chapter 3, James chapter 3. And in verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, those who have peace produce righteousness that's spread by producing peace, spreading peace. That is what should characterize God's people. Another characteristic is mentioned in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, Malachi is full of complaints God has against the Israelites. But he mentions in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you shall will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. One of the distinguishing characteristics of the righteous is the fact that they will fear God. In fact, over in Psalms chapter 110, Psalms 110, and in verse 10, no, 111, sorry, Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Fearing God is the beginning of keeping God's commandments. We do it because we know the outcome. And in Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14, and in verse 26, Proverbs 14, verse 26, says, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. When we fear God, it seems like the opposite there. But when we fear God, we have strong confidence. We know where we stand. And it becomes a fountain of life. It brings life to all, including the one who fears God. But going back to Malachi chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 16, there's another characteristic that's mentioned here. Not only are those who fear the Lord, but notice it says, those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. And it seems like a strange thing to stick in that particular passage, but it's a characteristic of the righteous. Speaking to one another, talking with each other. The reason we gather here today is so that we can encourage each other. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need that encouragement. And it's a characteristic of God's people that we are willing to give that encouragement. You can't do that sitting at home. You have to be with other people. The reason why we sing is also a part of that encouragement. Take a look at Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We teach, we admonish one another by our singing. It's not just entertainment, which a lot of people treat it as. This is an essential part of our encouragement as a characteristic of God's people, that we can encourage one another. And we already mentioned there's confidence, there's courage in those who follow after God. Take a look at Psalms 46. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, those waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. It doesn't matter what happens. The whole world can just tumble and turn upside down and change. God is our strength. And so a mark of God's people is to be that they're courageous. They're confident in God, not in themselves. They're confident that God will take care of them. And so we can withstand the blast. We can be patient. Over in Psalms 27. Psalms 27, look at verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. God will take care of things in his time. We also produce fruit when we think about God's word, when we meditate upon it. In Psalms 1 and verse 1, so how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. We've been talking about the need for constant reminders to read, to know what God has said. We need to think about what we learn. And that should be a characteristic of God's people. They have God's word on their mind. Now, of course, one of the major characteristics of God's people is what Jesus said in John 13. John 13, and in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I had loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Here then is a characteristic that Christ makes us different from the world, that we actually love each other. In fact, John said in 1 John chapter 3 that there's two things that characterize God's people. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Righteousness and love are the primary characteristics of God's people. It distinguishes us from the rest of the world. And our love for each other shows that we love God. Take a look at 1 John 4 and verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. As God's people, we should be people who are different. So often people want to fit in. They don't want to stand out. They don't want to become a target. But God's people are to be different from the world. Going to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4 and starting at verse 3. For the time already past is sufficient for you to carry out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dispensation, and then malign you. They're shocked when they find out you're not like them, that you don't do things like they do. They don't know how to handle that. And it's because of that, people oftentimes don't understand Christians. Take a look at Acts chapter 26. Paul's explaining what it is to be a Christian to Festus, or Agrippa. And Festus was there too. And verse 24, Acts 26, verse 24, while Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus in a loud voice said, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad. Festus could not understand what Paul was saying. He just concluded, well, Paul's just nuts. But he did recognize Paul was learned. But he couldn't grasp the difference. Now, of course, Jesus will treat him no differently. Over in John chapter 10, John 10 and verse 20, so many of them were saying, he has a demon or is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? Again, notice they did not grasp who Jesus was. They did not grasp the idea of righteousness. And the conclusion, well, he's just nuts. It's going to happen to us. It's going to happen to you and I. People are just not going to understand, and their knee-jerk reaction is, well, you're crazy. We have to be different. Because if we don't produce results for God, then God says we're going to be removed. Take a look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. He began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, Let alone, sir, for this year too, until I dug around it and put it in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down. There's a limit to God's patience. We are to be godly people. We are to show fruits, produce, that shows the righteousness of following God. If we're not productive, God says, why does it even exist? We cut it down. And fruit is not just for the young and the vigorous, the ones who got all the energy. We can also be productive in our old age. Take a look at Psalms 92. Psalms 92 and in verse 13. Planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It doesn't matter what age we are. We can be productive. We can flourish by doing what God wants us to do. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we being productive? Are we being fruitful? Or do we have the marks of God's people around us, shown by the results of the works that we do? If not, we need to get busy, because God's patience is limited, though he is very long-suffering. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God and would like to pray for your brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.